First, before I start, I want to answer my most asked question. What are you going to do now? The answer, I don't know. I will continue with prison ministry. This is my fourth year at the Maine Correctional Center in Windham. And I will be doing some supply preaching. In August, I'm going to preach at Pleasant Street, where I was an interim pastor. And then in September, I expect to be preaching at the Chibig Island United Methodist Church while their pastor is on maternity leave. I also will be doing a renewal of wedding vows in Camden. And that's about all I know. But I can tell you that the next main event in our lives is coming right up, July 9th, to be exact, when Dick is going to have knee replacement surgery. Wish us luck. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Years ago, a former parishioner had just graduated from college and she was looking for a job. She knew that she wanted to go into sales. But instead of turning to the paper's want ads, she asked herself one question. Of everything I own, everything I have, what am I most excited about? And she knew the answer, hands down. Her Honda! She absolutely loved her car. So she went to the local dealer, explaining to him the rationale behind her job search, and voila, it worked. She got the job, and she thrived. So her account, I think I'm not going to make it. Could you get me some water also? Sorry, thank you. So her account led me to ask the same question, which is, what am I most excited about? What is my life's biggest passion? Not my car. In all honesty, I would have to say the church. I love the church. So, I have been trying to put into words the reason why. And this is what I have come up with. It's because at core, the church enables me to look at my life in three directions. Pastors like that number three. First, I come to church to look up. And that's why, for example, for this morning's opening hymn, I chose my father's favorite, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Because, contrary to what I seem to think sometimes, it's not all about me. There is an awe-inspiring creator, the creator of this vast universe, the giver of life itself. And how refreshing it is to have at least this time in the week to let my soul be reminded of that fact on a weekly basis. I need to praise. I need to say thank you. Secondly, first was up. Secondly, out. I come to church to look out, to look around me, to be reminded of needs beyond my own family's. And I come to be more mindful of you, the congregation. I come to be more mindful of people I do not know and may never know, the asylum seekers in Portland. I come to be reminded of all those who are trying so hard to help them, even as I speak. I come to be reminded of any pain that comes from injustice, and particularly now, for all those people who have suffered because of exclusionary practices of our denomination. But beyond thinking about others, which coming to church affords me to do, I come to church for the opportunities it presents me to do, to give to others. Because at the end of the day, no church, no individual for that matter, is ever going to say, "I regret that I gave too much." You don't hear it, ever. You never hear, "I did too much to help other people." It just doesn't happen. So I come to church to look out and around. And lastly, in addition to looking up and out, the church affords me the chance to look inward and to ask before God, "How is it with my soul?" And here at church is where I come to be reminded of who I was created to be, dimples and all. Here is where you in the congregation, you who know the song in my heart, sing it back to me. 2 weeks ago, Paul Bright, where's Paul? Sang my favorite song so beautifully, "You Raise Me Up," which in my mind is a perfect description of what God does for us through the church. God raises us up. This is from the song, when we're down and our souls are tired, when our hearts are heavy and our problems loom before us, then here we can come and sit a while as God raises us up on his shoulders and we become more than we can be. That's all in the song. And so I ask myself, what could be better than the church? I can't improve on that answer. I don't know of anything else. And so now I have come to the first word of my sermon, which is goodbye. Goodbye, as you know, is a derivation. It is from the words, "God be with you." And so I say to you, God be with you. As you privileged ones who get to come here, look in all three directions of your life. As you look up, as you look out, and as you look inward. The second part of my message, farewell. And I have no doubt that you will, because of how you have fared these last 7 months. You are a remarkable congregation, and I cannot say that enough. This past Thursday, I attended a resource day which focused on church leadership in the face of anxiety. And one of the key stressors which was lifted up was, not surprisingly, pastoral transitions. Frankly, it was what I expected to find here in this church in November. They said, "Be on guard. Watch for fight or flight behavior. Watch for people focusing on the wrongness of others. Watch for cynicism. Watch for lethargy. You name it." And then I came here, first Sunday, one of you offered to put me up in your house anytime. Right, Elsie? I never forgot that. You didn't know if I was a smoker. You didn't know if I was going to move in, lock, stock, and barrel. You knew nothing about that. But the offer was out there. I also heard from the lay leader who said to me, "Tell me what I can do for you," and then added the words, "and I will do it." If you don't know Denise, you know she means every word of that. Two of the children in the Sunday school made me cards of welcome. It was painful for me to take them down from the bulletin board. I was given a wonderful red worm made of yarn. Phineas did that, and I still have it. I always will. Beautiful red worm. Also, first time ever, I received a thank you note from one of the children for directing the Palm Sunday play. That doesn't happen very often. Never happened in my past. You have had us to your house for meals. You took us to a show. You furnished the parsonage with real beds and candles and chocolates. The town manager gave a five-star tour of Wayne. I highly recommend it. Complete with italicized places which indicated actual stops. And you continually reminded both of us, both Dick and me, what the soul most longs to hear. You said, "We need you and we want you." Well, this is about half of my list that I have drawn up, but I can see your eyes are glazing over. So I promise I'm going to stop. But suffice it to say, do unto Pastor Angela as you have done unto me. And may you continue to fare well. And so now comes the amen part of the sermon title. That means, so be it. And in thinking about this, if I were to make one wish for this phenomenal church, which I love dearly and no one can deny, I would wave a magic wand in hopes that Wayne Community would become a tithing church. What's a tithing church? That was always the goal at our church in Cape Porpoise, and sometimes we made it, and sometimes we didn't. But it was always what we wanted to accomplish. What it meant was that... I thought that would get a reaction. So what that meant, what it means to be a tithing church, is that in addition to paying 100% of our apportionments of our mission shares, that was a given. We were going to do that no matter what. But in addition, it meant that we were pledging to each other that we would intentionally give away 10% of our total budget. And that is when the giving really got fun. Every year, for example, we'd raise money for socks, of all things, to give to the homeless in Portland. Sock hops, sock it to me, socks everywhere. Or we'd sponsor the youth. Not that we had that many, but some of them served on mission teams in Guatemala. And if you were to ask what they wrote about on their college applications in terms of what experience have you had in life that has mattered the most to you, it was this mission trip going to Guatemala. Talk about a life-changing experience. And the church can do it. The church is going to help Lydia this summer at Metuana, and who knows what memories she will have from that. But giving never feels that good if you don't feel you have enough. So, Dick's solution, here it is. Everyone, make a commitment to give an additional $10 each week. Not every day, just each week. That's it. Only $10 a week. And what a difference that will make. And so to that, I say amen. So, now let me conclude by saying that with Angela Rotherham as the pastor and with you as the congregation, wow. Thanks be to God. Amen.